To the brightest audience in the country, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we want to talk about Harvey Weinstein and which of his actions were illegal, which were not, and which would be legal if the immoral Libertarian Party were in charge, or if the immoral policies of our national Christian ministries were in effect. And I'll use an example for that, a member of the President's Commission on Pornography. What a great opportunity, right? Well, Dr. James Dobson was selected to be an important part of that vital effort, and I'll use him as an example because of the capitulation, the surrender to the decriminalization of sexual immorality. For example, like with abortion, suicide, pornography, adultery, all the so-called social issues, they're actually moral issues. They only want to regulate abortion, suicide, pornography, adultery. They being groups like National Right to Life, Focus on the Family, Eagle Forum, Concerned Women of America, J. Seculos, ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, the Conference of Catholic Bishops, and so on. They all oppose fighting to abolish, to recriminalize these things, but only want to regulate them. And so if the people who represent Jesus Christ want to regulate all this filth and wickedness, where do you think the rest of the country is going to be? And all the unbelievers? If the Christians want to regulate the killing of children, then where will the rest of the nation be? It's not hard to figure that out. And so with Harvey Weinstein, how much of his horrific behavior would be legal if, let's say, James Dobson's policy objectives were all put into place? Now, I realize that that's not the case. But what if everything that Focus on the Family had called for had been put into place? How much of what Harvey Weinstein did would still have been legal? Since Dr. Dobson advocated regulating pornography, not abolishing pornography and recriminalizing it. When you pay a woman to have sex and you film that, that should be illegal. It should be illegal. It is criminal to traffic in human sexual behavior. But, you know, we were told in a very condescending way, including when the elder board of Denver Bible Church went down to their headquarters in Colorado Springs and met with their executive vice president of public policy and a couple of their judicial analysts, we were told, well, you know, there is such a thing as free speech. Well, yeah, we do know that. It's not a First Amendment right. It's a God-given right. It existed long before the Constitution or the Bill of Rights were ever conceived of, and it exists in every nation on earth. Everyone in the world, we all had, those of us who lived here in this country before us, everyone had the right to free speech. Everyone. In every nation. At every point in history, because it's a God-given right, and you minimize the right to free speech when you call it a First Amendment right. But anyway, we were told in this condescending way that, well, you know, there is such a thing as free speech. Oh, yeah. Well, free speech doesn't mean you have to decriminalize prostitution. Those are two separate issues. And there's other reasons why sexual immorality is criminalized and should be a crime today, other than the fact and the tie-in with prostitution. But just take that, just that much of it. Paying women to have sex while you film them is prostitution. So I want to talk about that today. And then it will help us think about God's form of government and God's criminal justice system from his perspective. So we stated to Tom Minery, one of our three suggestions from that meeting was that when they're going to advocate some policy objective, first ask themselves, what should be the law? What would God want the law to be? Ask themselves that first, and then work on a trajectory toward that goal. And Tom Minery said to us, we would never do that. We would never do that. And he's right. They would never do that. They would never start by asking, what would God want the law to be? Because to them, it is irrelevant. Because when you don't know the Bible and you don't rightly divide the Bible, it's sort of a scary thought to think that you're going to use God's word as a starting point. You'd much rather make it up as you go along. And that's what they've done. And how has that worked out for them? And how has that worked out for the whole nation? Awash in sexual immorality. Just awash in sexual immorality. And I know a lot of conservatives are excited about Donald Trump, but what has he done to stem the tide of filth and perversion? He celebrates homosexuality. Celebrates homosexuality. The despicable things that his wife has done, his own despicable attitude toward women. And I realize people do things and then they're sorry about them. That's my life. And we're sorry, but it's good to repent and to say, I'm ashamed of what I had done. Please forgive me. I've asked God to forgive me. That should not be done. No one should do those things. So Melania Trump owes that to the nation and to the Lord and to her family. So before we go into more on Weinstein, I'd like to review a few of the items from last week's important shows. We discussed the media's double standard, which is good for us and bad for them. They hold Christians accountable for their bad behavior, but they try to give a pass to liberals and the left and the godless. Right? We've always mentioned the H's, Hillary, Hollywood, the humanists, the homosexuals. Now you could add Harvey and Huma to the list. So they've always tried to cover up the bad behavior of the left. And that hurts the liberals, not us. We want to be held accountable to the proper standard. We want that. When there is a double standard for women, and if a woman is sexually immoral, it hurt her reputation in the past. Today, not so much anymore. And this has hurt women, this equalization. But today, women sleep around, they brag about it. They brag about it in the media. Unmarried women bragging about their sex life. And so that double standard has slipped, and that has hurt women. It's hurt women. It hasn't helped men. It's hurt women. And also, we talked about the double standard with the left when they didn't mind all that much when Russia led the world's democide. Democide, that's the killing, governments killing their own people. Russia led the world's democide by the many tens of millions of their own people that they killed. It goes into the hundreds of millions when you look at the communist governments around the world and their intentional policy of famine. In the Soviet Union and communist China, it goes into the hundreds of millions. So the left, they love the Russians through that whole period, and they only hated the anti-communist. You remember that? I remember that. They were okay with the communist, even though they slaughtered their own people by the tens of millions, but they hated the anti-communist. Isn't that something? That's why there's a hell. That is why there is a hell. So reverse that, though, because in the past year, now, after losing a single election, now they hate the Russians. Isn't that something? The left, in many ways, has no problem with the slaughter of the innocent. In fact, they tend to relish it, like with abortion and suicide. They make these holy sacraments to them. But by their double standard, they approve the Russians when they are mass murderers, and they hate them because they wanted to influence our election. Oh, what? That's sacrosanct? Like Obama didn't try to influence foreign elections, even illegally in Israel. Then also last week, the fabulous interview with Jonathan Sutherland, Abolish Human Abortion. Jonathan took that video that's gone viral, millions have seen it now, showing the public the accurate view, the true colors of a large percentage of homosexuals, hate-filled, filthy, vulgar, trigger finger, intentionally aggressively offensive, intentionally aggressively blasphemous against the Christian God. Not the false gods, by the way. They don't have a problem with all the false gods in the world, only against the true God, because he makes demands upon their lifestyle and their pride. And then also last week, we talked about a million end times believers on the verge of schizophrenia, constantly interpreting the headlines, the hurricanes and the eclipses, as though they were fulfillments of biblical prophecy. They've done this so many thousands of times. Haven't we run out of prophecies to be fulfilled by now? I mean, how could we have had thousands of times, thousands of end times programs, thousands of videos, countless hundreds of books, thousands of articles, quoting a headline or some development and saying, this is a fulfillment of Daniel's 10 toe, this is a fulfillment of this and that, and this has all happened thousands of times over. Haven't we run out of prophecies to be fulfilled by now? Here at Bob and Yurt Live, we are looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus, his second advent. I hope it's soon, but I'm so glad that I'm not in charge, because his wisdom, his patience, his love is beyond our understanding. And so while we are here living our lives, the Lord is populating heaven. How many people does he want in heaven for eternity? Is it a billion? I don't know. Is it a trillion? I don't know how many. But the Lord has been patient. And in his wisdom, he has been patient, but he tells us that he will not be patient forever, and he will return. And when he returns, he will resume working on his end times calendar with Israel, and that will be a time when the entire world will be stunned, and people will know what is happening. Today, it's more like only the initiated have any idea. When God was interacting in an undeniable way in the Bible, those who hated the Lord knew that he was doing mighty miracles and wonders. Today, it's only the initiated. The rest of the world look at something like, oh, your car didn't start and now it started and you think it was a miracle. The rest of the world calls it a coincidence. And you say you don't believe in coincidences. Well, they do. And so they are not seeing undeniable signs and wonders the way God did them in the scriptures. What they're seeing is people who are misrepresenting Jesus Christ, claiming to be pointing to the fulfillment of prophecy and signs and wonders, and they simply have been wrong now for 1,900 years. And so, hey, Christians, we forgive one another. We love one another, and we give one another a pass. But the left, those who hate God, they don't give us a pass. And they remember, and they use our biblical ignorance against the Lord. We have given great opportunity to the enemies of the Lord by all our misinformation and false teaching. And we have an obligation to ask God to help us to know what's right and to teach what's right, and not just to run with every new exciting development. So, Friday's program, Real Science Radio, so absolutely thrilling. A few things you'll need to tune in if you haven't heard that show. They are now using CRISPR, this gene editing tool, to fix the muscular dystrophy mutation in laboratory mice. And it's the same mutation that causes Duchenne muscular dystrophy in people. And that of the 9 forms of muscular dystrophy, that's the one that people get the most. It's horrific. What, 200,000 people in America suffer with this. And so we are thrilled about this pending cure, but also we notice the guilt of misdirected science, with the evolutionist and Darwinism being the science stopper that it is. They looked at the DNA in these bacteria and they said, look at this. This is all the result of mistakes. This is all non-functional junk. The hubris to claim that all the brilliance in DNA was mostly junk and non-functional. And as a result, Darwinism has been a science stopper. The theory of evolution has been a science stopper 1,000 times over. And in this case, they misdirected medical researchers away from what may be the greatest advance in the history of medical science, where eventually every genetic mutation that causes a disease, as we can identify them, we will be able to repair them. So we discussed that. And then also a very scary discovery in Yellowstone. Very scary. We've added this to our list of not so old things and not so slow things. There is a super volcano beneath Yellowstone National Park. Its caldera underlies much of the park. And it had been believed to recharge a super volcano would take maybe 1 million years. Of course, right? Everything is believed to take 1 million years. That's the knee-jerk position of the left. Everything in geology takes 1 million years. Then they find out it only takes thousands of years, many thousands of years. Then they find out, well, you know what? It looks like you could recharge a super volcano in 500 years. And then studying the crystals that are formed in the process that leads up to the eruption, they said, you know what? We think that these super volcanoes get recharged in only decades. And that's scary, because there were over 400 earthquakes in Yellowstone just in the past month, many hundreds since June, many hundreds. And so is it possible that it could blow? Of course it's possible. And there is no way to predict how soon. But if the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, if they end up giving a warning, people there should heed the warning. Remember all the people who died when Mount St. Helens erupted. Okay, and then also we talked about the biomaterial in dinosaur eggs. This is ho-hum, you know, soft tissue, actual biological soft tissue in dinosaur fossils. Well, in this latest paper published, paleontologists wanted to find out what color the dinosaur eggshells were. That's a neat thing to think about. Birds lay eggs, and the eggshells, some of them are blue, some of them are pink, some of them are yellow, some of them are white. What color were dinosaur eggshells? What a neat question. So they go out and they don't get geologists, because fossils supposedly had all turned to rock, to stone. They don't get paleontologists. They get biochemists and biologists. And they look inside the shell, the eggshell of dinosaurs, and they find original biological material that has not decomposed. I mean, some of it has, obviously, but there's still remaining. And like we have predicted on Real Science Radio, dinosaur soft tissue, an original biological material, is not rare, as the atheists thought. At first, they thought it'd be impossible because they're supposed to be 68 to 200 million years old. At first, they said it's impossible. But in the young Earth creationist worldview, these dinosaurs, the vast majority of them were killed just a little bit before the earliest Egyptian mummies were put in their tombs. And we still find traces of biological material in the bones of Egyptian mummies. And likewise, we still find traces of original biological material in dinosaur fossils, because the history of the Bible is the true history of the world, and the world is young, and dinosaurs are young, all of them. Do you know that we produced a video here called Jurassic? Jurassic. Dinosaurs are young, all of them. It is by far our best-selling video ever. We have sold thousands of copies of Jurassic, thousands. It is absolutely exhilarating that this information is getting out to the public. And we're doing as much as we can to make that continue to happen. But it's just wonderful that paleontologists want to know what color dinosaur eggs were. So they say, well, let's go get some biologist and we'll look. And lo and behold, they find original biomaterial. If you want to find out more, it's Friday's Real Science Radio program. And then finally from that show, there was another WWB discovery. What's a WWB discovery? Not the WWE, that's crazy. The WWB, working for Walt Brown. To hear about that discovery, you'll have to listen to Friday's show because all scientists work for Walt Brown. All scientists work for Walt Brown, and discovery after discovery after discovery is consistent with or confirming the hydroplate theory of the global flood, the theory based on the eruption of the fountains of the Great Deep. And by the way, over the weekend, we've received a belated gift to our telethon. Remember, we were at almost $26,000 of our $30,000 goal. Now we are at $28,400. $28,400. The goal was $30,000 for September, and we ended the telethon at the end of September. But our listeners have been so fabulous, and they've wanted us to reach that vital goal that we have of $30,000. So they've continued to give for the telethon. So we're at $28,400, and we're also looking for an underwriter so we could put our entire full-length global flood video on YouTube. That'll cut into sales, right? People don't tend to buy a video when it's freely available on YouTube. So we'll no longer be able to sell it like we are to bring in monthly revenue, but it will enable many more people to watch that video. So if you are interested, please, our website, kgov.com. You could click on our store, donate, or you could call us 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And if you're interested in being an underwriter, you could go to kgov.com/underwriting. kgov.com/underwriting, enabling us to publish a very important full-length video on the global flood and the hydroplate theory. So now back to Harvey Weinstein. Of his behavior, how much of his behavior was illegal? How much of it is legal? And where would that threshold move if conservative Christians, the ones that have the greatest voices in America, if they got their way and their policy objectives, their initiatives actually became law? And they had judges who would uphold their worldview of criminal justice. What would change? And so what is illegal today is rape. And Harvey Weinstein has been credibly accused of rape by three women. Also, sexual assault, groping someone, is criminal. So he's been credibly accused of sexual assault. We have a meme on our website. It's on our Hillary page, kgov.com/Hillary. And let me describe it to you. There is a banquet, and at the table, front and center in this photograph, is Harvey Weinstein. And to his right and his left are Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin, right? Because, hey, they fight for women's rights, don't they? And Harvey has donated hundreds of millions of dollars to fight for feminism, the dignity of women, women's rights. And so the text on this meme, it says this: a sexual predator surrounded by two women who supposedly fight for women's rights, who are both married to sexual predators. Isn't that something? Huma Abedin and Hillary Clinton, both married to sexual predators, both enablers in their own way. Like when Huma sent a letter to the judge asking the judge, for the sake of their child, to go easy on her husband, who was involved in an online sexual relationship with a young girl who he knew to be young, underage. And so she said, I had no idea I'd ever be in a position like this. Well, you work for a boss who has enabled her husband to sexually assault and even rape women for decades, and you've never taken a stand against her for doing that or against him. And Huma, you've done the same thing with your husband over and over and over. Stand by my man. Stand by my man, right? Exactly what Hillary said she wasn't doing was exactly what she was doing, no matter how egregious his behavior. So if you haven't seen our page, kgov.com/Hillary, you owe it to yourself. It's stunning. It's funny. There are plenty of memes, graphics, and short videos, including Enabler Hillary's near-death experience. You might want to watch that from the BEL Televised Classics. Oh, so by the way, that meme, the JPEG file, is HarveyHillaryHuma.jpg. So if the Libertarian Party, which is immoral, conservatives and many Christians have been seduced because they don't know the scriptures, so they are vulnerable to a counterfeit. So the Libertarian Party stands for legalized abortion, pornography, adultery, crack cocaine, homosexuality, suicide, euthanasia, prostitution, all of it. So if you think of them as conservatives, they're not, but then think of them as immoral conservatives. There are many Christians who've been frustrated by how wicked the world is, so their policies increasingly are not based on the Bible, they're based on their frustration. And they say, forget about government. Forget about government, forget about police, forget about marriage, just everything, everyone does whatever they want to do, whatever you could get away with, as long as you're not hurting someone else, as though these things don't hurt everyone in society, from the innocent child to the most elderly person. So, but what if Christians were in charge and not the Libertarian Party? Well, to use Dr. James Dobson as an example, on the President's Commission on Pornography, his recommendation was not, which it should have been, it was not that it should be criminal to traffic in human sexuality. Prostitution should be criminal, and therefore paying women to have sex on camera should be illegal. We need to recriminalize fornication, adultery, prostitution, which is legal in parts of Nevada, and the federal government even has run brothels. You know that, right? When they take them over because of they're behind in their taxes. So the federal government literally has run brothels in Nevada. And all homosexuality, all these things throughout Judeo-Christian legal history, from Moses through Jesus to Paul, these things have not only been sins, they've been crimes. But as soon as Christians say, well, you have a right to free speech, and fornication, you know, what could you do about that? And adultery, if they're consenting adults. And pornography, of course, it's a free speech right. If that's the position of Christian leaders, then you're going to have 10,000 Harvey Weinsteins. God bless you guys.